Let's follow up the Luke 13 from this morning with Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 4. Talking about repentance today. And really, repentance has been wholly abandoned as something we tell sinners to do. Believing, of course, is biblical. But believing includes repentance. Repentance is biblical. Repentance includes believing. It's faith that includes repentance. These are things that describe our side of it. Not that it's a work, but that's our response to the grace of God. Any of that that we do is from the Lord, if it's genuine in answering the call of the gospel. Jeremiah 8, verse 4. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why then has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course, as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we see from Jeremiah so long ago that this has always been a problem, a lack of repentance. There's not been a problem with people on the outside saying that they are believing, but to actually turn and truly repent is not as often seen. We know it's a work of God, and we don't need to make it easier for the Holy Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit, we know, Lord, can bring repentance as required. And, Lord, only through that Holy Spirit can we believe that way. So, again, Lord, we are desirable to be a repentant people. For, Lord, we also repent after our initial repentance, when we confess our sins and forsake it. So, Lord, I pray we would again rejoice tonight in your word, in Jesus' name, amen. We learn to fall down pretty early in life. Before we learn to walk. Because if you're going to walk, you got to fall down. I don't guess there's any kid, even Superman, probably fell down before he walked. And if a child falls down when they're walking, well, they get up. Sometimes they cry and get up. Sometimes they knock a table over and get up. But they get up. It's a natural part of life. And Jeremiah starts here in our passage tonight. He started above, actually in chapter 7. But will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? As though if you fall, you rise. If you turn away, you return. Those are natural reactions to the first. Fall, get up. Turn, return. And when we talk about repentance, we're talking about returning or turning back to God. And this is what the children of Israel, Jerusalem, wouldn't do. Growing up, we'd leave school, leave home in the morning for school. And at night, right back home. Very seldom, and something's wrong if it happens, would you go to school and say, I'm just going to stay here. You come home. You go, you come back. If we went out to play with friends in the neighborhood, by the end of the day, by supper time, we generally were home when I teed off on the first tee at the Tryon Country Club, all the way back around to the last hole, just in the course of playing. When we went on vacation, we would leave, we'd return. I even made up a game where, when I was young and had nothing but energy, to where I'd roll a ball. We lived on a hill. Roll the ball from the top of the hill down the driveway. There were rocks and stuff in the driveway. It wasn't paved then, where I grew up. Down the driveway, and I would have like 10 teams to see which team the ball went farthest on. And sometimes it went all the way to the bottom of the hill. I mean, a good ways. And all I would do is get the ball, go back up, and start it again and roll it right back down the hill again. Because that was the game. Go get it, bring it back. Go get it, bring it back. And so the same when you fall down, then it's natural to get up. I've gone roller skating. And that's something you fall down, if you're like me, at least. But when I've gone, I've never seen people, and I haven't gone that many times, but I've never seen people who are down and they never get back up. They go down to get back up. You might think, well, you might as well just give it up. No, they get up again and they try it again. I've played football and fallen down. I've seen football play. They fall down, they get up. That is just, these are natural things that you do. But Jeremiah says from the Lord that Jerusalem doesn't do that. Will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why then has this people slidden back, Jerusalem, in a perpetual backsliding? They fell back and they stayed there. They turned away and didn't turn back. Repentance is turning to God. After, of course, we turn away from Him. And the Bible teaches us that we, everyone, have turned away from birth. We have turned everyone to his own way, plain and simple. We are born rebels because we rebelled in Adam in the garden. Adam and Eve had God, and they had that fellowship with the Lord, and the relationship with God was perfect. And they turned away from the Lord to eat the fruit. And then they went farther from the Lord and hid, because they knew then they were naked. They were ashamed. They had sinned. And so when we're born as Adam's seed, we inherit that. That's our sin nature. That's original sin. So we do the same thing. We are alienated from God by birth. Whereas if we were born without sin, we would not have that. But we do have it. So when we are born, it is very important for us to be guided in the Lord's way. And the Bible emphasizes that for children and for parents to teach children that. Because a person very early in life starts to establish things that they like to do. Our lives are established. Our pleasures, our desires. Things that we then begin to do when we're able to, and they become who we are. We get our habits and our customs and our practices going. And we decide we're going to live this way, and we live that way. And it's all outside of, by nature, the will of God. So that, depending on how a child is raised and how receptive they are to the instruction they receive about the Lord, they may wander way off from the Lord. They may manifest a great deal of evil in their lives. And it's because they grow up in this vacuum where they're not instructed, so they just go off to their natural sinful ways. And when parents don't even try to raise a child in the way he should go, it just exacerbates the whole thing. It speeds it up. And it's hard. Once you get to be the way you are, And if that way is sinful, it is very difficult for someone to come and tell you that you have got to turn from that way, because it's ingrained in us. We like it. We like what we're doing. We have a certain joy in it. That's what we make of our lives. And repentance is a call of that. The gospel calls us to repent of the way we are going when we are alienated from God and living in a sinful way outside of His will and His design for us. And that is something that's so hard that the grace of God alone can make us to repent. But it is required. Just like believing is required. And holiness is required. And righteousness is required. But it's not required of our own hand, by our own power. It is provided by the Lord. But when the Lord calls us, if a person is to be saved, they will repent. And we became disabled in the garden to do that. In the garden, we lost that. But we lost the ability, but we did not lose the requirement. The standard remains the same, holiness. We still are supposed to keep perfectly the law of God because it's His will, but we can't. Nobody does. So the law now just convicts us of our sin. And when it convicts us of our sin, it makes us repent if we're convicted. And it makes us believe in a proper way. Jerusalem has a perpetual backsliding. They are at the end of their lives as a nation. Look back at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, weeping because, like many of the prophets, he prophesied in a time when his words were completely ignored, and the people continued to do what they were going to do. Verse 1, Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So you got Josiah, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, Zedekiah. You've got the last kings, and Jeremiah is ministering throughout all these last kings of Judah. Israel already having been taken from their land because of the same sins. So he is ministering in a time when the last gasp, they've got to turn now very quickly as they come toward the end. And his prophecy was ignored. Look at verse 15, chapter 1. For behold, I am calling, the Lord saying, all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord, they shall come and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me. Speaking of Jerusalem. Burned incense to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. Well, there's his commission. Go preach to these people. They'll fight against you. They're not going to listen to what you have to say. When you tell them this is the will of God, they're going to fight against you and say it's not. Just like today, if you tell someone to repent of homosexuality, well, that's not wrong. They'll fight against you. If you tell a person to repent against heterosexual sin, they'll fight against you. If you tell somebody to repent about drugs, well, I don't know. They fight against you if they're not repentant. Repentance is submitting to the rule of God, the law of God. And if they don't want to do that, well, they fight against you. That's the characteristic. They just have another system of religion. Verse 16 says, they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. You see, that's something you acquire. When we're born, we have still the image of God in us, and we still, the fact that we're created by God, know there's God. And you see that throughout the world because you got religion everywhere. But people make it up as they are pleased for it to be. And when you go to someone's religion and say, that's not the religion that God teaches in the Bible, well, they fight against you because they're not repentant. They will not repent of what they believe is okay. So this is his start, verse 5 of chapter 2. Just walk with me a little bit through it. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have you found? Just have your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters. You see, there's a distance matter there. When you turn away from the Lord, they end up going far from God. Religion is not the issue. You can be very religious, and the more religious you get, the farther from God you get. Because the religion itself is leading you away from the Lord. So they are idolaters. They make their own religion. Verse 6 of chapter 2, neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwelt. They don't seek to come back to the Lord. They don't say, where's the Lord? They don't look at their problems and say, where's the Lord? The Lord led us through so much in the wilderness. Where's the Lord? They don't think of that. They think of doing more in their own idolatry, having more idols, having more sacrifices, having more convocations of an idol worship. They've left the water to try to build cisterns that hold no water, verse 16 says. Verse 13, sorry. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, that's the leaving part, that's the turning away. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. You could preach on that verse for a while. The point of a false religion is to mimic or replace the true religion. And only God can be worshipped properly, according to the Scriptures. There can't be a bunch of gods. It's not like just we pick a god and we follow a god and we make a god up. And that's the world's basic thinking, that there's God out there all fuzzy and we give him a name and we give him a character and all that, and then we do what we want to do toward him. Well, they did that. They were not irreligious. They were religious. But what they did was they left the religion that gave them living water. And instead, they have hewn themselves cisterns, things to hold water. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. So they replace the one that worked, the cistern, with the one that doesn't work. And do they then turn back to the other cistern? No. If a hole's in the bucket, today, if a hole's in the bottom of the bucket, do people get a bucket without a hole? No. They pour more water in that bucket. They pour water, pour it faster, pour it harder so it won't go down as hard. That's what people do. That's what they do. So, that's the picture of them turning from God and refusing to return. And that's a sickness. That is an illness. That is something people do when they are wrong. If a person wanders from home without ever returning or ever thinking about returning, they have some awful malady. Some people leave home and if they have Alzheimer's or dementia, sometimes they forget where home is, and that's a disease. But when someone with the capabilities leaves home and just doesn't go back, the prodigal son left home. The father gave him all his stuff, so off he went. So off he goes and lives it up for a little while, then gets impoverished and ends up feeding the pigs. And then he says he came to his senses. What am I doing sitting out here with the pigs, he said. You'd think he would have said that way back. Well, what am I doing? I can go back home, and I can just be a slave to my father. At least I'll be able to eat some decent food. So off he goes. That's what repentance is. He left his father. Then he realized he was being crazy. Went back. So back to our text. This context really goes back all the way to chapter 7. If you look at chapter 7 of Jeremiah, verse 1, this is where it starts. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you of Judah who enter at these gates to worship the Lord." This is Jeremiah's first temple sermon. He's preaching to the people who are going to church. I mean, they're going to the temple. But they're not really worshiping the Lord. Verse 3 of chapter 7, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in these lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." That means that they were glorying in the fact that since they had the temple, that would never be destroyed. They would always be good because the temple would never be destroyed. And, of course, that's what was being threatened. So they were depending upon the temple of the Lord. Verse 5, "For if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever." That's repentance. If you turn and do the things you're not doing and forsake the way that you're going now, then I'm not going to bring destruction even. Verse 8, "Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord." They were using the temple to justify their thievery. Because when they went to all the things they would do with a foreign god, and all the things they would do immorally that are listed there, and then they would come back to the temple, it was like the temple made it all okay. So Jesus said, "Have you made my house a den of thieves?" This is a common thing in religion. Catholicism, for example. You can say the You can say confession to the priest. The priest can absolve you, and then you're clean. You go out and do it, do a week of that, come back and again. That's not repentance. That's absolution. That not even absolution. That's a false teaching. When you come to repent only to just wipe it clean and go back and do it again, that's what he's saying here. Do you think you go out there and live the way you want to and then come to this house and it all just kind of wipes it off? They had even forgotten the history. Shiloh, the first place that was revered as where the ark would be, that the Lord destroyed that because of sin. We see in chapter 7, 12 through 15. And so they just reject verse 25 of chapter 7. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt till this day, I have even sent to you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. You see, that is a resistance to repent. That's the opposite of repentance. Repentance, back in chapter 8, requires letting go of sin. Verse 5 says, why then has this people slidden back? Jerusalem is a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. You see, they've got those hands clenched around their own sins. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. That is what repentance calls us to do. They don't even say, verse 6, what have I done? I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. The Lord listened for words of repentance, words of change, but he didn't hear anything. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? What have I done? That's what the prodigal said. What am I doing? What have I done? What's wrong with me? That's when the heart is awakened. That's when the gospel is effectually impressed upon a person's heart. And they go, what have I done? And they're convicted and they're guilty and they don't argue then. They repent. They don't resist. They submit. And repentance is that action of turning back to God with all their might. Verse 6 mentions it in this way. Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle. That's the opposite of repentance. But repentance would be that everyone turned to the Lord as a horse rushes into the battle. If you want the Lord, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. It means they want to, when they really get the call, they want to get in. And will they repent? Yes. Will they die to self? Yes. Will they submit? Yes. And that's how you know it's true faith. Repentance lets a man be as smart as animals. Verse 7. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you be wise? How can you say we're wise? Verse 8. And the law of the Lord is with us. Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. You see, the animals were smarter. The animals knew where home was. The animals had times set by the Lord. We see that. Birds go north and south. Who tells them to do that? Do you think there's a place where the birds are preached to and they're said, listen, it's time to go back north? Oh, no, we're not going to do that. We are not going to do that. We just got down here and it's nice and warm. We're not going back up north. They go. They go back and forth. They do exactly what God has made them to do. So that comparison is that even the animals are smarter than you are. They know the way they're supposed to go. Repentance means breaking your relationship with other gods. When I do a ceremony, wedding ceremony, generally all the couples want you to say, forsaking all others to cling only unto you all the days of your life, not forsaking most others. It's always a forsaking all others. And so verse 10 of chapter 8, therefore I will give their wives to others, their fields to those who will inherit them, because from the least, even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Covetousness is identified by Paul as an idol. Greed is idolatry. It's the worship of things. It's the devotion to things. Repentance means you're not pretending things are okay when they're not. Verse 11. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You go there and you confess, say to a priest in the Catholic system, and other systems will do this as well. You confess that, and he says, I absolve you of your sin. You have peace with God now. And they don't. Without repentance, without true faith in Christ. So, this is one thing that someone who is non-repentant would always say. Well, I'm okay, everything's fine. I'm right with God. I love the Lord. I know the Lord. I'm a Christian. I believe that everything, everybody does, the Lord led them to do it. I mean, you hear it all the time. I watch things. There's a church having problems, a big church, Chicago, and they've got things set up that's not according to the Scriptures, and they preach a gospel that's not according to the Scriptures. But I looked at some of the news about it, and what the Lord has done here, and what the Lord has done here, and what the Lord has done here, and how the Lord guided us here, and you're saying, God is just doing everything. Everything bad that's being done in the world, God is doing, basically. People don't feel bad about that. People believe that their way is God's way. And it's just made up. And if you repent, you go to the Lord's way. If you don't repent, you stay in your own. And you're ashamed. Verse 12. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed. Nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. They did not even know how to blush. Repentance is preceded by blushing. You're ashamed. You did something wrong. You wish you hadn't done it. That brings repentance. I'm ashamed of it. If you really repent, verse 14, you can't just sit idle. Here's the response. The Lord says in verse 13, I will surely consume them, says the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. And someone then says, why do we sit still? Jeremiah says, why do we sit still? Why do we sit still? If the judgment is coming, why do we sit still? This is like an alarm goes off in your house at night. You're sleeping and you hear the alarm go off. And what do? Put it on snooze? Smoke alarm goes off. Put it on snooze? You get out. He says, why are we sitting still? Why are we sitting here? Assemble yourselves. Let us enter the fortified cities. Let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. That's regret. That's shame. And that's action. A repentant person is an active person. He pursues to get things right with God because that brings healing. Verse 22, last verse in chapter 8. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Healing is available. Spiritual healing. And national healing. Same for our nation. If our nation was turned to God instead of trying to make more laws about things that already have laws about that people are not keeping, if it turned to the Lord and seek the gospel to be proclaimed in schools and proclaimed in places of government and proclaimed throughout the land so that people might come to know the Lord, you would make new people and you'd have fewer shootings in Chicago than you do now. Because people would be changed from the heart. Because repentance brings healing. Well, that's why it's necessary. You cannot know the Lord without repenting of your sin. You can't just say, Lord, I'll take you and just keep all these sins. You turn away from them. That's the glory of repentance. We should be thankful we have it instead of what many to do today is push back against it and not preach it. Let's all stand.